You know, one of the reasons I believe the Bible is because how God is not afraid to tell you all the dirt on his heroes.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Samson was a young man marked out for greatness. He had been especially selected, even before birth, to deliver Israel from her enemies, the Philistines. And in this evening's message, Pastor Brian Grant will take us to the book of Judges to explore, from the account of this man's life, the question of, is there hope for a fallen Christian? He will show us how the root of Samson's sensual passion led him far from God's plan for his life, and how it is that sin will always take us farther than we intend to go, hold us longer than we intend to stay, and cost us more than we intend to pay. So we invite you now to listen with us as Pastor Grant tells the story from the book of Judges in his message, Grace for the Fallen. Here now is Pastor Grant.
A cautious driver was being tailgated by an aggressive female driver. And the cautious driver stopped because the traffic light had turned yellow. Well, of course, the lady behind him, she was very upset because after all, this wasn't even a red light, it was just a yellow light. Plus, on top of that, she was eating a Big Mac at the time, and the fact that he stopped for the yellow light means she had to jam on her brake, and the Big Mac went flying, and not only the Big Mac, all her makeup went flying, and she was so mad. She rolled down her window, and she pushed her head through, and she started screaming at him and shouting and cursing and honking, and this went on for such a long while. After a while, there was a tap on the other window. It was a policeman. He decided eventually to arrest her. He took her to the police station. He put her in a cell. And after a couple of hours, he came back and he said to her, he said, "I am so sorry for my mistake. I made such a big mistake." He said, "You know, when I pulled up behind you, you were shouting and screaming and cursing and carry on. But I saw on the back of your car, it had a bumper sticker. One of the bumper stickers said, 'What would Jesus do?' Another bumper sticker said, 'Follow me to Sunday school.' And your car even had a chrome-plated Christian fish emblem. And after I saw all those things, I was so convinced this could not be your car. I assumed you had stolen the car. I am so sorry for the mistake." It's sad, but it's so true. But we Christians often don't behave like Christians. In fact, sometimes our lifestyle is so terrible that even our friends would have a hard time believing that we are saved. But when Christians behave like that, when we mess up badly, when we live a terrible life, can God still use us? Is there hope for the Christian who has really messed up? Is there hope for a fallen Christian? This morning, I want to answer that question as we discuss the theme, Grace for the Fallen. Samson was physically the strongest man who ever lived, but he was morally weak. He was specially chosen by God from his mother's womb, and since he was a Nazarite, he was expected to live a life of devotion to God. But Samson totally walked away from his vow to God. Samson was born with an incredibly promising future because God had specially chosen Samson to defeat the Philistines and serve as the leader of the Jewish people. But this man who started with such promise, he died a premature death. He died when he died. He was tied up in chains in prison with his eyes gouged out. This man of promise came to a very tragic an untimely end. And so this morning, as we talk about this subject, is there hope for a fallen saint? I want us to take a look at the life of Samson, because I believe there are lessons that we can learn there that would help us understand and get the correct answer. Is there really grace for the fallen? But first, I want to take a look at what were the reasons for Samson's incredible fall. If you're taking notes, write this down. And by the way, if you don't have your Bible, you may want to grab hold of your Bible right now. Or if you're not using your cell phone, get your Bible application out so you can follow me. I'm going to be spending most of my time in the book of the Judges. But here's the first point. Listen, sinful relationships derailed him. What were the reasons for Samson's incredible fall? Number one, sinful relationships derailed him. I'm reading from the book of Judges chapter 14, and I'm just going to read the first three verses. Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. His father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised, the Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. Now, isn't this crazy? How crazy was this? The Philistines had been cruelly ruling the Jewish people for over 40 years, and God had chosen Samuel to be the one to deliver them. But instead of doing what God wanted, Samson decided to disobey God and marry an uncircumcised, basically an unbelieving heathen woman from the enemy's side. What a stupid decision. Samson was operating on a totally physical level. He wanted what he saw, and he saw what he wanted. He didn't care less what God said, and he didn't care less what his parents had to say. As far as he was concerned, he saw a woman that was just so fine. She was smoking hot. He said, I want her. She was so smoking hot. It was all physical. You know, it pains my heart to see young people making the same mistake today. Or perhaps I'm speaking to somebody this morning. Listen, we know exactly what the Bible says. We know that the Bible warns us against marrying an unbeliever. But like Samson, we just don't care. I don't know. Perhaps it's physical in your case. I don't know what the issue is. Listen, Samson didn't care. But when we disobey God, things will not work out the way we were hoping they would work out. Look with me quickly at Judges chapter 15, because we're going to find out that Samson's dream relationship with his babe from Timnah really didn't work the way he expected. I'm in Judges chapter 15, verse 1. After a while, in the time of wheat harvest, it happened that Samson visited his wife with a young goat, and he said, let me go into my wife, into her room. But her father would not permit him to go in. Her father said, I really thought that you thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your companion. Whoa. Is not her younger sister better than she? Please take her instead. And Samson said to him, this time I shall be blameless regarding these Philistines if I harm them. So Samson went. Boy, this is some guy. He went, caught 300 foxes. He took torches, turned the foxes tail to tail, and put a torch between each pair of tails. And when he had set the torches on fire, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines and burned up both the shocks and standing grain, as well as the vineyards and olive groves. Then the Philistines said, "Who has done this?" And they answered, "Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he has taken Samson's wife and given her to his companion." So the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. Oh, I don't have time to go into all the ramifications there, but all I'm saying to you is that when we disobey God and take matters into our hands, things don't usually work the way we expected. You know, I remember I had a friend who decided to marry an unsaved fellow. And, you know, many times when young people do this, they expect to get away with it. But this girl didn't expect to get away. She expected that there would be a price to pay for disobeying God. And so she said, "I love him so much, I'm willing to pay the price no matter what it is." Boy, she didn't expect the price was going to be what it was. But less than 2 years from the day they were married, her husband was shot and killed randomly as he stopped at a train crossing, and he was shot and killed. All I'm here to tell you, my friend, don't follow your heart when it comes to disobeying God. Because when we disobey God, things generally will not work out the way we expect. Perhaps I'm speaking to somebody right now, and you're in a sinful relationship. As long as you haven't gotten married yet, get out. You say, "Brian, the date for the wedding is set." Even if the date for the wedding is set, as long as you still haven't said, "I do," get your running shoes and start running.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Because I am telling you, my friend, if you disobey God in this area, you are going to run into trouble. Sinful relationships will derail your life. But there are other types of sinful relationships that will also derail our spiritual life. That's why it is so important that we guard who we allow in our inner circle. Well, I hope you're listening to me this morning. It's okay to have unsaved friends, but my friend, you have got to be, if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, you have to be guarded as to who you allow in your inner circle. Listen, too much exposure to wrong attitudes and wrong values will eventually take its toll on your spiritual life. Our devotional had these words just recently. Here's what it says: that we should never forget, if you want to soar with eagles, you can't run around with turkeys. Oh, let me say that again. If you want to soar with the eagles, you can't run around with the turkeys. If you really want to soar for God, you can't have in your inner circle a bunch of unsaved individuals. Listen, they will influence you away from the things of God. So my friend, God's word to each of us this morning: watch out for these close relationships. Do not allow sinful relationships to derail you. Samson allowed sinful relationships to derail him. But secondly, he allowed sinful pleasures to damage him. Sinful pleasures damaged him. I'm back in Judges chapter 16. I just want to read the first three verses there for you in Judges chapter 16. But let me pick up at verse 20 of chapter 15 just for context. "And Samson judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there, that's a prostitute, and went into her. And when the Gazites were told Samson has come here, they surrounded the place. Listen, this is the man of God. This is the man, God's champion. This is the man with all the strength. Everybody was looking to conquer him. He goes down to Gaza with a prostitute. They surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, "In the morning when it is daylight, we will kill him." Samson lay low till midnight. Then he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two gateposts, pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders, and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. What an amazing story. Samson had been Israel's judge for 20 years. This means as Israel's judge, he led Israel politically, militarily, spiritually. He was leading this nation, God's people. But here is this leader. He is now in Philistine territory, in bed with a prostitute. You can't make this up. You know, one of the reasons I believe the Bible is because how God is not afraid to tell you all the dirt on his heroes. Because we need to understand that these individuals in the scriptures were individuals, men and women just like us, with the same desires, the same temptations, the same tendency to do wrong. And God wants us to know that no matter who you are, listen, there is somebody just like you in the Bible, and the same God who changed them and helped them can help you. But Samson's impulses had totally captivated his life. His sex drive was totally out of control. I hope I don't offend you, but if his brain was between his legs. Girls, I want to warn you that there's some guys like that. And they'll say all sorts of stuff to you to get what they want. It's amazing, though, that after all these thousands of years, girls are falling for guys' same lines. Can I give you one of a guy's favorite lines? Here's what they'll say. "Honey, if you really love me, you would." And you can fill in the missing part. Listen, young lady, anytime a guy tells you that foolishness, just say to him, "Is that right? You know that guys have been saying that for over a couple thousand years. And my pastor said to tell you that when I hear that story, it's really that you really don't love me. It's because you really love yourself." Whenever you hear that line, young lady, that's not the guy for you. Any guy who gives you that, don't say, "I forgive you." It's a guy that's not the guy for you. You need to move on. Oh, young fellas, if you're listening to me, I hope you hear it square. I hope you're listening, and God is saying, anytime you start to run that by a girl, you are out of bounds, and you have, listen, you have slipped in your faith. You need to get down on your knees and ask for forgiveness. Amen? Listen, some guys, you know, I've actually heard people in recent times, because so much has changed in Christian circles, I've heard young people say that sex drives are normal, and God, the reason God gave them to us, he wants us to use them. Uh-oh. Have you ever heard that one? Yes, he does, but in a proper context. You know, if you were a camel, then I could understand. You say, "Well, Brian, why are you bringing up a camel?" Because a few years ago, my family, we were in Florida, and we went to one of these animal parks. Two camels decided it was time to mate. And all I can tell you, it was the most unbelievable experience you would have ever witnessed. The noise and the pandemonium. Oh my goodness, I don't even want to leave that image in your mind for too long. But listen, these camels, all these people were gathering around, and these camels did not care because they could not exercise self-control. But aren't you glad you're not a camel? And we can exercise self-control. And Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28 tells us, whoever cannot control his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Thank God we don't have to be like that city broken down without walls. We can control our desires. Listen, God gave you those desires, but he gave you those desires that you can exercise them under his control. Sinful pleasure will always damage us, no matter what sinful pleasure you indulge in. Samson's issue was sexual sin. What is your sin? What is your sin? Oh, some people have, you know, there are all sorts of sins. We don't have time to go into it. But God is talking to every one of us this morning, and he's using Samson's illustration. Here it was a sexual sin. What is your area? It's rampant now, pornography. Listen, because we can do pornography on the internet and nobody knows, or so we think. Because sometimes we're looking around to see who might see, but we forget to look up. You see, pornography is one of the big issues that's destroying young men, destroying young women, destroying families. And I warn you, young men, if you're caught in pornography, you need to get help. Do not stay on that path. Get help. But for some, it's alcohol. In fact, alcohol is clearly one of the big challenges of our society, because here we are in this wonderful United States of America, and we're shutting down almost every other business except the beer distributor. Because the beer distributor is regarded as an essential service. God have mercy on us that the beer distributor is now regarded as essential. Why? Because so many of us have a problem with alcohol. Is that your problem? Listen, the Bible says that you can drink wine, but it is warning us about excess. It's not a matter of whether you had a beer or you had a glass of wine. The question is, if every single day you find you can't manage without a glass of beer or a cup or some wine, something is wrong. And if it means that you're going to go to excess, something is wrong. And I'm here to warn you, my friend, that sinful pleasures damaged Samson, and it will damage us as well. Listen good. Write this down. Sin will take us further than we intended to go, will hold us longer than we intended to stay, and will cost us more than we intended to pay. Let me say that again. Sin will take us further than we intended to go. It will hold us longer than we intended to stay and cost us more than we intended to pay. May God help us that we don't allow ourselves to become shipwrecked by continuing in a path of sinful pleasure. Samson allowed sinful relationships to derail him. Secondly, he allowed sinful pleasures to damage him. But third, he allowed sinful pride to destroy him. Sinful pride destroyed Samson.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that, and mean it, God will hear you, and he will answer your prayer, and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today.
If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.